Behemtan Shel Tzadikim and Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevita Kala Yadam. Let's finish discussing that part. You have to figure out what to do with all these wires, right? Let's finish discussing that part. Everybody can hear me okay? Okay, great. So basically, we're trying to explain that there were several shitos in the Rishonim. The din of Eda Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevita Kala Yadam appears here in the context of the Gzera of Kuti, Taroves Dmai, right? The first one is Heim Deis, second one is Vavam and Aleph. And then with regard to Yerek Shel Beis Shan. And then finally, you know, with the original story, and that is, again, Behemtan, the Behema of Pinchas Binyar. So I just want to make it very clear. And that is that all these cases, you know, we need to understand the scope of it, especially since, there, as the Rishonim point out, it seems like this is not a din that is applied across the board in any Yisurim. We don't say that the Hashgacha visited upon, you know, Tzadikim or Talmidei Chachamim, you know, excludes them from any kind of Mikshol or Isur. So the question is, when do we say it, when don't we say it? So as I said the other day, I'm just going to repeat for a second, one would have thought that you would only say it in the most toxic and in the most, the need for the greatest protection, you know, the greatest Chilul Hashem, you know, the greatest, again, sense of embarrassment. In the end, that's what Tosa says. Tosa says that it's limited to Macholos Asuros, because that's where there is Gnai. That's an interesting perspective on Macholos Asuros. You know, people say, there are many Yisurim of the Torah. Why do we spend so much time and so much effort? Why do we focus so much on Inyanei Kashrus? But this Tosas actually tells us that Inyanei Kashrus is what you eat. Maybe because it's the interface, you know, between physical, or one of the interfaces between physical pleasure and everything else. Again, the Rambam has Macholos Asuros and Yisurei Bia in Sefer Kedusha. That's very suggestive. So maybe the idea that Eda Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevita Kala Yadam, when it comes to kashrus, obviously it's not such a big issue when it comes to Yisurei Bia Lamaisa, shouldn't be. So, but the potential for Takala and Macholos Asuros, I'm just making the suggestion, I'm thinking aloud. Why is it that this is so miyuchas? But that is Tosis's view. And we're going to read inside the Ramban in a minute. First, I want to talk about each one. And as the Ramban thinks that it, you know, that it doesn't make any sense at all. Again, to use the language of the Ramban, right? You know, the pun, the ein betam hazeh lo tam v'lo reyach, right? That's Ramban's cute way of saying, you know, foods and that kind of stuff doesn't have any special yichus, at least vis-a-vis, you know, this particular halacha. Therefore, according to the Ramban, it's a different perspective. That is this perspective that the Talmud Chacham wants to be saved from being the source of other people's takala. That's much more noble, frankly. But as I was saying the other day, it also highlights a certain perspective on leadership, on Koysol Reim Zelazen, on leadership. And I want to get back to that in just a couple of minutes too. But before we do, just to make it clear, so knowing what cases it does apply to and what it doesn't apply to, whether it's Tosas's perspective or the Ramban's or some other perspective, becomes very important. Because as I say, I would have thought it would be, you know, the Hall of Fame, you know, equivalent, first tier, most toxic, you know, Yisurin. It ends up that it doesn't seem to be exactly that way. But does it end up actually being even Drabanans and even Isurei Gavra, even things that don't really, even on a Drabanan level, qualify as Chefza Shel Isur? That would be really quite remarkable. And the Pashtus, that's what it might end up being. Because the first case is Taroves Dmai. The second case is the case of Beit Shan, which according to Rabbeinu Tam is also Demai. And the third case is, you know, the behema of Pinchas Ben Yair and the Pashtus of the Gemara, that's also Demai. So the role of Demai in all of this is even more, even within the more limited purview of this halacha, is surprising. And we'll get, particularly in the nature, in terms of the nature of Demai, which we're going to get back to in just a minute. However, just to make it clear, I think there's a way out of this that you don't have to go so far, and that is as follows. There's no getting out of the, oh, let's go backwards. In the case of the behemoth of Pinchas Ben Yair, even though the Pashtus were talking about Demai, and we're going to get back to that in just a minute, that's what some of the Rishonim certainly understand. One could have said that even though Pinchas Ben Yair, you know, and his behema, you know, probably couldn't have known it, maybe it was real tavo. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. Does that matter or not? In other words, from a normative point of view, it was demai, but maybe kamishmaya galya, it was a case where there was no hafrasha, and really the animal, or by extension, the owner of the animal who's not allowed to feed his animal tevel. Maybe the point is not so much that he was saved from his animal eating demai as much as it really was tevel. That would upgrade a little bit. Similarly, I mentioned Rabbeinu Tam on Vavmud Beis that Yerek the Beit Shan is a din in demai, because Tostus is trying to explain the discrepancy of different evidence, which we'll get to in a few minutes anyway, regarding chutz laretz. Is there a prohibition to eat, you know, a tevel in chutz laretz? So even if something is chutz laretz, there still might be such a prohibition, at least in aratzas asmuchos. So that's what motivated Rabbeinu Tam to say that we're talking about demai. But before you get to Rabbeinu Tam, and there are other ways to explain that problem, it's very possible that, again, we're talking about tevel, right? We're not talking about demai, which would leave, what about kuti? Well, kuti, again, when we were portraying things, you know, in the extreme, you know, as being tamua lekula, I was saying that at that first stage in the Gemara is speaking about kuti as a gzera about yayin nesach and nevela. But it doesn't yet use the phrase that it uses later on Vav Amud Aleph, and that is asom kekutim kenachrim rather l'chala dvarim. But if you want to ignore that, then what you might say is that Merosh, the Kutim, were perceived as non-Jews, right? Either because they wrote them out, legabe vizdinim, or because igloi milsa, that they were gerei arayos, kind of like the Tosas Rid, even according to my explanation of that, how it's a national, you know, evolution, etc. So at the end of the day, it really could be nevela. So what I'm trying to say is, we have four cases in the Gemara. It's possible to say that the first is real nevela, that the third and the fourth is real tevel. I think even real tevel is a bit of a chiddush. I'll explain why in a minute, but that's what it could be. The problem is, what do you do with the second? That certainly is about Tarova's demai. So again, do you want to say that maybe, again, Kamishmaya Galya, it's really Safek Tevel? Maybe. Or maybe we'll acknowledge that that one is Drabanan, but maybe we should then wonder whether our perspective, so that's Mechudash, that applies to a Din Drabanan, but maybe we should wonder whether or not the nature of Tevel, which we're going to discuss, I'm sorry, the nature of Demai, which we're going to discuss a little bit more extensively, is affected by whether or not Tarova's demai is also osur. By which I mean, and I'm going to clarify this more in a couple of minutes, or you could tell me what I mean. Eli, what am I talking about when I say the nature of demai? What's the issue? The issue that's lurking in the background of a couple of these Gemaras.
Maybe the question
that's demai, in addition to whether it's drabanan or not, there seems to be another critical question which could make it even a more surprising candidate or, you know, Behemton Shel Tzadikim and a Kodesh Baruch Hu Mevitah Kol Yada. And what would that be?
The fact that it's just a miyut.
Excellent. The fact that it is a miyut, and therefore?
And therefore it's just really a policy issue.
Excellent. Maybe the din of demai isn't even macholas asuros drabanan. Maybe it's just, as Eli just said, a policy issue, meaning it's a chovas hafrasha, right, which generates an iser gavra. Because in the end of the day, it's important to remember about demai. We're going to elaborate this. We're not going to go so much into detail because we're way behind. And we want to hit some other topics. But we'll touch a little bit on some of the issues. In assessing demai, right, you could go different ways with it. But the things that stand out, meirosh, is the fact that rov amei aretz are ma'asrin. So from a pure safek tevel perspective, in addition to the fact we're not treating it as only a safek, there's not even a basis of safek. Really, we should apply the principle of rov. And the question is, what is the significance of ignoring safek and ignoring even more so that it's less than a safek, that it's a rov? What impact does that have in terms of the way that we perceive demai? And you could really say, and this we'll discuss more, you could really formulate it broadly speaking, in three ways. One is that the chidushim of demai are narrow chidushim, but they don't affect, in a way, like the bottom line. Meaning, the chiddush is that rov ma'asrin, and we're ignoring that, and we're treating it as a safek. Right? Maybe the other salient or most salient thing about demai, in addition to the fact that it's a miyut, is a machlokas possibly based on a bit shamai. What would that be, Raziel? About demai?
I'm not sure what the machlokas is shamai based hilal.
What other what's like the other most like shocking? Surprising din of demai. You may not know Beis Hillel Beis Shammai because we paskin like Beis Hillel. What din of demai?
Perhaps that it's different than regular maestros and chutzlara.
I don't know that per se, but Rami, what do you think? I can't hear you.
I don't know. I'm also not sure.
What's like, again, if you're looking at demai and you're pondering its character, which is, you know, part of this, this is an important sugya for that. That's why we're going to touch on it. Okay. So number one, it's a miyut. Number two, we're treating it as a vadai, not even a suffix. That's like a double whammy. Okay. What else?
Yeah.
What else? Evan? A din, a well-known din. It doesn't appear here in the sugya, but appears in other sugyas. Arye? Klein?
Does that have to do with who's able to eat it, about that you're allowed to feed it to certain people in lots of cases?
Yeah, exactly.
That feed soldiers and other people in times of need.
Machilin laniyim ulachsanya demai. Did anybody ever say the machilin laniyim ulachsanya? Other macholas asuros drabanan? Right, certainly not. So there is a debate, seems like there's a debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai on this point. But we paskin like Beis Hillel, that machilin laniyim ulachsanya demai. And there are numerous gemaras that tell us that you can be makel in demai, right? Because iboi mafkir nichsei, and then you'd be able to eat it at the Torah's ani. That's a Gemara in Sukkah. Gemara Sukkah Daf Lamed Hayomid Beis says that demai is esrog shel demai is kosher, even though you're not allowed to eat demai, it's considered yesh la heter achila because iboi mafkir nichse. We'll get back to this. Like, what is that? What are the parameters of that? So this is a very shocking din, this din of demai. Right, Hechad Matzinu, that there's a class distinction in Hilchos Kashrus between Aniyim and Ashirim, or that an Achsanoi, or that a soldier, you know, is allowed to eat something that's machal. We're not talking about Bishas Muhammad. We're not talking about the discussion we had earlier in the year in the Sugandaf, you know, Yud Zayin and the debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. We're not talking about that. So it's a very strange halacha. So the idea that, you know, the law of, you know, Bemtad Shal Tzadik Emen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevit HaKal Al Yadam, the Siyata Dishmaya, is going to apply to Demai of all things, is Tamua because it's a Drabanan, but even more Tamua because even as a Drabanan, right, it's a very, I'm spending time on this now because it's part of the sugya and it's just easier to talk about it now. So it's going to come up a few times and hopefully we'll just dispense with it quickly. It's a massive topic. If we ever learn Zoraim, you know, in more detail, we'll discuss it more intricately. And Tani's going to be very happy because, you know, as we already saw in the Maror Mekomos, right, there's a famous siman of the Asvin Daraisa. So this is what he talks about, of course. Everybody talks about it. So there are really three perspectives, broadly speaking, three perspectives with a lot of nuances that you could take. One is to ignore, you know, the rove. And to ignore the din of Aniyim and Achsanya. I don't mean to ignore them that they don't exist, but to say, although that those are separate halachos. Right? It's a special din that here we're not applying the din of Rov. It's a special din that here this din derabanan, you know, doesn't apply. There's a special heter for Aniyim and Achsanya. Let's ignore all that. Then at least we can approximate treating it like Safek. We can treat it as Safek Tevel. That's one approach. The other approaches are opposite to each other, and that is, we're not going to ignore these very salient, seemingly characteristic dinim of demai. And what that means is that we really don't treat it only, question only or at all, as Safek Tevel. And either we go all the way in Lechumra, or all the way in Lekula. Frankly, these are not necessarily mutually exclusive either, although I think that there are different tendencies. Meaning, the most obvious thing to say would be that we're, you know, it's a different kind of a drabanan, and we should be more mekel, because there's a rove, and it doesn't even apply to all populations. So it's a chovas hafrasha, right, where it applies. That's really, really, we're not worried about even Safek Tevel, because it's a miut. And if we were, right, then of course Aniyim would have to have that chashash as well. So really, it's a dindrabanan. What did Ellie just call it? A policy issue, right? I mean, it's a chova safrasha, right? It's a din vadai. But it's a din vadai b'toras, a chiyuv agavra, to refrain from eating demai or to be mafresh from demai. Even then, that's a slightly different way to treat it as a iser gavra, and therefore to demand afrasha. Or probably it's the other way, that there's a chovas afrasha, and that's also responsible maybe for the iser achila. That changes the way that you look at the whole thing. That's the kula way. The chumra way is to say, well, if we're ignoring all the factors lakula, like rove, right, etc., then maybe actually we're more machmir in demai. It's a vadai chiyuv. Now again, the tendency to look at it as a something which is more chomor, as opposed to something which is more kal, expresses itself by different rishonim and a different sugya, but they're not mutually exclusive. What you might say is that in terms of the cheftza, it's much more kal, because it's a miut. And in terms of the chovas agavra, or the chovas afrasha, it's more chomor. And once that's the case, you know, and there's a recognition that it is a policy issue, so you also get the kind of, in addition to not being an Isur Chafza, even Drabanan, or Chashash Doraisa, even Drabanan, what you also may get is, well, Kai Gavna Tiknu, Kai Gavna Lo Tiknu, which explains things like, you know, Achsanya and Ani. So, for example, there's a huge debate. If you look in Shas, and the Sugyas of Demai, Balei Tosfos already point this out, and you can see the discrepancies in the Rambam, that sometimes Machilin Aniyim and Achsanya Demai is invoked together with Iboi Mafkir Lenichse, for example, in Sukkah Lamed Hamed Beis. But there are other times when it's invoked without that. Right, so there's a huge debate among the Rishonim, right, to explain that discrepancy. The Rishonim will say, "Well, Divrei HaGemara, you know, Ashirim b'makom echad v'aniyim b'makom acher," and really the bigger principle is that the only way that you get that particular kula of Dmai, right, is based on Iboi Mafkir, just that the Gemara doesn't repeat it each time. It says it in a couple places, and it's understood otherwise. L'may nafkamina, let's say there was no possibility of being mafkir, right? For whatever circumstances, I don't know, Shabbos or Yontif, the person made a, you know, a neder or a shvua, he has holdings everywhere, he'll never be an ani or whatever it is. Then you would never apply, you know, this kula. You'd only apply it to somebody for whom you could actually befoal, trigger, right, by mafkir, and therefore, etc. However, there are other rishonim. This certainly seems to be shitas Rambam. If you just take the evidence in the Gemaras, it seems like in some Gemaras you have to be able to trigger the hefker. And in other Gemaras, they're just quoting, and in some Rambams, they're just quoting the fact that Machilim Aniyim, the Achsanya Demai, to teach you a kula or limitation in Demai, even when Lamaisa, in the particular Befoal case, there's no possibility of Hefker. So let's say, for example, can you use an Esrog Shel Demai, even if Befoal, there was no possibility of hefker, right? So the way some rishonim understand it is yes, because the din of machilin aniyim and achsanya demai. This is how the Rav used to explain it, by the way. Although I think it's just very basic. I think everybody explains it this way. The Rav used to say the din of machilin aniyim and achsanya demai proves that demai is not macholas asuras drabanan; it's an iser gavra. Things that depend on there being a chefza shaliser, I'm not talking about an iser chefza necessarily, but a chefza shaliser as opposed to iser vachila sagabra, those dinim don't apply to demai. So when the Gemara sometimes says, well, demai is considered heter achila, and therefore it's lachem legabe esrog, what the Gemara meant was, right, midde aniyim v'achsanya, Nishma Lativ Isur Dmai, and that applies Bein Lani and Bein Lashirim in terms of this particular halacha. That's why you don't always have to have the ability to be mafkir. Okay, so why am I telling you all this? This goes to the heart and core, Beshamai Beisila Machilin, right? What we're talking about, Does it have to be only on the basis of if you're an usher, does that ever affect you, or is it only based on befoal iboy mafkir? How do you look at the rov miut safek problem? We're going to get to an arsugya also, not right now, probably not today, but maybe when we finish with this. Is there a din of svek sveka in demai? Right? Or does the fact that the whole din of demai is nitkan alamiyut, does that also affect svek sveka? For that matter, we're going to get to tarovas in a couple of minutes. What's the status of tarovas demai? Is that like svek sveka? Meaning, to what extent do we treat demai, lechumra or lekula, like a real suffek tevel? Can it be better than suffek tevel? Can it be worse than suffek tevel? These all depends on how, on these different perspectives of demai. Demai at once is more kal because it seems not to be midrabanan a chefza shel machalos asuros, but also for the same reason, more chamor, because it's a policy issue, but it's a vadai policy issue, notwithstanding the rove. If we overcame the rove, it's because we wanted to make it a chiyu vadai lahafrish, and that has a momentum in its own right. The idea that demai is more complicated, then it's not either safek or more kal, and it is a gavra, or more chomor, because we're even choshesh lemiyot. But that, legabe certain dinim, it's safek, it's treated as safek tevel. Legabe other dinim, it's treated lechumra as a vadai, as a chovas hafrasha, as an iser gavra that's noveya from the chovas hafrasha. And that legabe other dinim, namely, dinim that have to do with chefza shel macholas asuros, that it's more kal, even on a rabbanan level, namely, invoking machilim, achsanya, va'ani, d'mai, that idea, this idea that these are not mutually exclusive, three positions, although all three of them are expressed, and there's certainly debates about specific applications, whether you take approach one, two, or three. But the idea that when it comes to the wide gamut of approaches, that all these three may be applicable, and that they're not mutually exclusive, and that in some cases the debate revolves around, you know, what we focus on, that complicates demai, but it also explains it. Okay, so we'll see some expressions of that in this sugya, but that's the bigger idea. Bracha is another example. What's a din of a bracha? You make a bracha on demai, an afreshas demai. How does that connect to the din of bracha l'safek? Right? This is a discussion in the sugya in Masechet Shabbos, and partially in the debate between the Rambam and the Ravid in a bunch of places about safek. Let's say you have a safek mitzvah. What does that do in terms of the chiyuv bracha? Okay, so we're going to get, we'll touch on some of these issues, but these are in a nutshell, this is the problem. Why am I telling you all this front-loaded? Hey, I'm not sure how much time we have, you know, to get through the rest of it. That's a little bit of the problem. But I just want to get back to the main point that we started with, and that is, if the din of takala, right, applies to demai, that's particularly surprising, but then maybe in retrospect, you know, meaningful, because demai isn't even a regular, or perhaps is not even a regular, right, Issur d'Rabbanan. It's either a safek d'oraisa, where we're ignoring the rov and treating it as a safek tevel d'oraisa, right? Or it's more chomor, you know, and it's a chiyuv v'adai d'rabbanan, right? Or it's less. And the Roe part of it always figures prominently, and it's just a policy requirement, but just a chiyuv afrasha or a chovas agavra, or an isur gavra maybe, but not even macholas asuras drabanan misafe. So that will dictate the questions of takal. Now, having said all that, what I was trying to say before was, one way to look at all the cases in the Gemara is that they're all related to Demai, or to policy problems like Kuti. The other way is to see them all in terms of Tevel and Avela. But the one problem that stands out would seem to be the Demai problem on Vav Amud Aleph. So here I want to venture the idea, and I'll expand on it later, and that is that the Gemara thought that there's a problem of Takala in Demai, not even Kamishmaya Galia necessarily, Tevel, only when it thought also that the Isra of Demai includes Taroves. The question is whether everything I just discussed in the last couple of minutes, the three broad, let's say, perspectives within Demai, does that change in light of your view of Taroves Demai? And that depends on how you understand the Habamin and the Maskan of Taroves Demai, which I hope we'll get to before we finish today. But first we have some other things to get through. But the idea that I want to express now is as follows. If there's an Isra of Taroves Demai, maybe that highlights the Chomer of Demai. And at least that contributes to making it a candidate for Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe Takal al Yado. But once the Gemara concludes that there's no din of Taroves Demai, especially if that ends up being a significant kula, namely, if what the Gemara means by that, we'll see in a moment, is that the din of Tam Ki'ikar doesn't apply to Demai, because we're really more Mekil, maybe that's the transition point in the Gemara which says that it's not a candidate for Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe Takal al Yado either. It's not at all treated as an Isur Chefza, only as a strictly policy parameter, according to its parameters, a din of Chovas HaGavra. Okay, is that clear so far? I'm going to take a second if there are any questions about that, and then I want to talk about a little more about Tosis, a little more about the Ramban, and then about the Shittim Gubetzis and the Marsha. And then I want to get back to this Taroves point. Are there any questions?
Yeah. When it comes to the din of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe Takala, yeah, can't we take like an opposite, not like Tosas, but can't we take an opposite approach? Namely that when it comes to more minor Yisurim, so there it warrants this like Siyata Dishmai. But when it comes to major Yisurim, is it like a responsibility of a Talmud Chacham to be extra cautious in those areas? They don't deserve a Siyata, like when it comes to, let's say, murdering someone. So we're not going to give you a siyata d'shmai to prevent you from doing that b'shogei, because you should be much more cautious when it comes to that. So then that would flip everything and say that actually, yeah, it's more shy to minor yisurim.
Right. So hold on for a second. We have that, of course, a little bit in the Ramban.
A little bit in the Ramban.
Yeah.
I think it's expressed even more in like the, there's like the Sefer Yehusei Tanayim Amorayim.
In the Kamoi.
Yeah, so I think he expresses that point. Like even he's very similar to the Ramban, but I think he expresses that very clearly.
Yeah. You have a line there? Yeah, I'm familiar with it, but
yeah, he says Pirish de Eino Kadosh Baruch Hu maybe takala yidei tzadikim bedavar she'ein yecholim lishmor. Kigom zu she'ein lo adam gadol kamo liros v'lamod al tafshilin. V'chein kama dvarim. But then he says, by the other cases, bedavar she'adam gadol yomar afo bishagazer u'chamin zeirasam sh'olavar liratori, he says, in those cases, there's no excuse. They don't deserve the Siyata Dishmai.
Right. So I'm saying, I do think it's a little stronger, but I'm just going to read the language of the Ramban, which I was going to get to anyway. Again, the Ramban, as we said before, we'll talk a little more about the language. The Ramban's opinion is that the main din of, basically the Ramban says our two dinim of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe Takal al Yado. The main one is that a Talmud Chacham should not be the stumbling block for other people. And I thought it was a very powerful idea, hashkafically and halachically. I want to read that inside soon. Then he's concerned with some other Gemaras that imply that, you know, maybe per se there's a din of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala Yado. And it's here where he says, the following. One second. Yeah. Right? Bishogeg. And by the way, he adds, and by the way, this is interesting because Ramban Ala Torah also has a very strong view of this. Shiboli Taher Misayinoso. It's interesting that he adds that. In his Perish Ala Torah also, to remember the exact mokra, I think it's in Dvarim. He also has an expanded view of that. Abolitar Misayinoso. Aval Rabbi Shmuel, Pshia Hoysalo Bedavar, Shilochosh Ledivri Chaver or Lahachmir. Right? That's even Matin, Kriyashma. Rabbi Lazav Chaver of Shinikra Sefer Torah Yodan, Mitot Shabo Lechlal Kas, Bo Lechlal Chet. Shakalakoes Komin Gehenim, Sholtimbo. Udrab Yudabin Taboy, Shaharagate Zomim. That we'll get to. Shema Mukhiyav L'Shemai Mayus. That's a different story. So I do think that maybe it's a little stronger. What's the language again of the of that you were reading?
Yeah, so he says that that when it comes to Dabar She'in Yechol L'Shmor, Kigon Zu She'in L'Adam Gadol Kamohu L'Yeros V'La'amod Al Tavshilin, like it's beneath him to be like spending all his time like figuring out the technical details of like foods. But when it comes to other things, then he says that.
But maybe it doesn't go so far as to say you need Shia or Kas. But I guess the examples of the Ramban are a little more extreme, but the formulation of the Ramban is pretty much the same. But, yeah, with the added Shogid Belatar Messiah, also, as opposed to, you know, other kind of thing. But yeah, it's worth adding to the mix. But I think it is that idea. And that's Ramban within Balitosis, too, already, separate from his own view. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to talk about.
Hold on a second, Rebbe.
Yeah.
Josh, you want to go first?
So just what we're saying is that depending on how you read the Shalach Vitaria on Vav Amud Aleph, is what you'll say about the case of like Beishan.
You know what I was saying before?
Yeah, meaning the way you interpret the later examples.
What I was going to say is like this. There are two extreme ways to look at all the cases. One way is to acknowledge that we're really expanding, you know, to things that are Dvarim Kalim. Again, Natan is now suggesting to connect that to, you know, the Ramban and Udi Mei and say, yeah, because all the things that the people have less responsibility for to begin with. I understand that. There might be an explanation. Could be. The other way I was saying was, well, you could read the Gemara on Zainoid Base, Zainoid Aleph, and Hayamid Base as referring to Nevela and to Tevel. The only Gemara that it's really hard to say that about is Vavamid Aleph. That seems to be about Taroves Demai. But what I wanted to add was, it's Tarovez Dmai, according to the Mandamar, that the Takon of Dmai applies even to Tarovez Dmai. As opposed to the Maskana, which seems to be, although we still need to weigh what that Havamina and Maskana are, this is only going to be true according to some Rishonim, not according to others. And that is that Tarovez Dmai, you know, is not part of the Takon. So what I'm trying to say is it's a kind of bit of a, I guess, a clever suggestion, speculating, and that is that only when the Gemara thinks that even Tarovas Demai, let's assume for the moment Tarovas Demai, even without saying Tam Ki Ikar, right? Maybe. But certainly that we're going to apply Tam Ki Ikar. So then we're kind of treating it as an Isra Heftza, maybe, in addition. And maybe as such, even though it's only Dindra Abanan, you know, that those Chumras show us that we're treating as a real Takala. It's almost like saying, well, Safek Tevel, you know, we're throwing out the rules of miut, we're throwing out, you know, other svek sveka rules, like just encountering tevel is a terrible thing. Maybe. Yeah. Go ahead, Josh. Josh, good? That explains?
Rebbe?
Yeah. Aryeh, go ahead.
Does Rebbe think it's surprising on Hey Amid Beis, the Gemara seems to present the concept of Hamtum Shel Tzadikim as being a function of Rabbi Yochanan's own personal conviction about the Isser, especially in light of the Ramban, who seems to say that the real Takala isn't for the person himself, but for everyone else who might stumble.
Well, this is the point I think that Simcha brought up yesterday, which I do think it's fascinating. And I do think it also highlights that this is what I said yesterday, and that is that I think it highlights a surprising but very inspiring, let's say, perspective. And that is that you would have thought that the whole idea of Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala maybe Takala Yadam, you know, kind of accentuates the miraculous intervention, Hashgacha. You know, man is being more passive, the Rabbanu Shalom taking care of things for him, and so on and so forth. And it certainly does. And the fact that it's normative here, like we're drawing conclusions about it, you know, shows just how pervasive an idea that is. However, one would have thought that that would kind of detract from a little bit man's responsibility and certainly man's input into the halachic process. What I think you're pointing out today and what Simcha pointed out yesterday is that we really care, you know, what he personally would have concluded if he had had all the facts in front of him, even when we're acknowledging the possibility, right, that this isn't mukhrach. So I think that whether you hold like Tosas or the Ramban, I think it's a little bit different. And I guess you're adding the wrinkle today of the Ramban. But whichever it is, what I think it does, and I don't think people normally notice this, is that it highlights the respect that the Hashgacha has for the individual input of Chachmei HaMesorah into the process. So whether that means in terms of their own, let's not say Kamishmaya Galia, meaning either it's Asur or it's Mutter, who cares what he holds, right? On a Tosis level. Or Kamishmaya Galia, whether we're being Machshel the Tzibor, you know, whether he's being Machshel the Tzibor or not. That shouldn't depend on his particular Shita. If the Rabbanu Shel Olam is already driving this, let him drive it all the way. Well, you know, let it be only true if his Psak is correct. But the answer is that his manhigus and his sense of takala, his kol Yisrael arevim, depends on, you know, yiftach bedoro kishmul bedoro, and ein ladayin elama she'ein avros. I think it's just an amazing, inspiring, point. So that I do think, we were making the point more for Tosas before, but I think it's the same point. You know, I think it could be machalik, but it's the same idea, and I think it's incredible. Okay, are we good? We can continue? Yeah. So I want to talk about Tosas for another minute or two. And that is as follows, just to, you know, make a little bit of a, I want to highlight the Demai problem just for a minute, in addition to everything else that we've said about it. and then also to wonder about other Isurim Drabanan, or even on a Isur Daraisa level, places to draw the line. And that is to highlight it by invoking, you know, the sugya in the seventh parak of Brachos. Okay? As an introduction, again, getting back to the Netziv for a minute as well. Even in Tosas itself, right? Tosas makes chilukim. Yitzi? Laster? Between? What? Tosa says that, you know, again, our case, you know, a few other cases, that's the Gnaya for the Talmud Chacham because he's going to eat a Dvaris or etc. But there are a couple of cases, you know, involving improper eating, Tosa says, that don't fall under this rubric. Remember, Ezra?
Yeah, sorry, I was just on mute. About the, like, Yom Kippur in terms of the Isser being...
Excellent. That's Yom Kippur. And what else?
Before Havdalah.
Excellent, before Havdalah. So I want to talk about them for a minute and just use this to highlight further, you know, the kind of what we've been talking about in terms of Demai, et cetera. It sounds like Tosis is distinguishing between Chepsa Shel Macholas Asuros, right, Ezra? And?
Yeah, and the Isser Gavra.
And an Isser Gavra. And surely that's really interesting to put into the mix of several other topics like it. In light of that, the Demai question takes on a bit of a new coloration. That's the bigger point I want to make first. Meaning, if anything you put in your mouth is a Gnai, it's like, you know, how people respond to it. Maybe it is. Maybe it is their perception from Tosis's point of view. But and maybe that explains things in a non-legal way, but we'd prefer not, right? So eating before Havdalah, eating on its own. I mean, the truth is, if you tell somebody the guy, the Talmud Chacham, you know, was Nichshal, he ate on Yom Kippur Chalila by accident, they wouldn't think that that was a Gnai, right? So I don't know if it's only, I think it's more, there's an objective element, obviously. So what is that distinction, number one? And how does Demai fit in there? The more you think that Demai, now Demai, again, is not about timing, which is what Havdalah and Yom Kippur is about. It has nothing to do, Yom Kippur and Havdalah have nothing to do with the quality of the food. So if that's Koveya, that's Koveya. I'm just saying, you know, if Machilin Aniyim V'Achsanya, and if there's a Rov, etc., it's not a timing problem, right? It is more objective than that. But Alpidin, is it really, you know, enough? That's the question I'm raising a little bit. And just to highlight it further, how does the Netziv explain this distinction? It also doesn't explain it in a perception kind of a way. As we said yesterday. Hoodie?
That is Metamtem Halev.
Yeah, that it's Metamtem Halev, which is an objective way of saying you're eating spiritually noxious things. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how we Vinira Tam Ishun de Michael Osir Metamte Malev. Right, could the Isa Sof Paragimal de Yuma Lamed Tessa Medalev? Vinirin is that Tam Sphirly La Rivid, fascinating application. Right? What's the case, Hoodie? What's the application that he's about to give? The Rivid in Yuma? You have a Kolam Mesukan. You have a Cholam Asukan on Shabbos or Yontif or Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
You got to feed him something. Should you do a malacha and shecht him a kosher meat, or should you give him a nevela?
He says it's better to, it says that it's better to shecht than to give him nevela.
Better to shecht. To mechalin Shabbos l'chol sheish for pikuach nefesh. Right, velo lachilo nevelo sutrefos, but it's a bigger malacha to violate Shabbos than it is to give somebody macholas asuros. Correct, Hoodie?
Yeah, yeah.
What's v'yafa gav the Shabbos chamor in terms of the ma'isa aveira? What's the answer? Mitam Te Malay.
Mitam Te Malay.
Yeah. The answer is Mitam Te Malay. And then he says, Veteda de Medrash Tanchuma, before she had a Tanib Abarazor Chavav Manale, Parazkachav and Menika Ben Shay Yisrael Bershusa, Ubezem Esyashev Koma Shenidcha Koatosis, Babarazara, Hari Afilu, Betinok Bar Hanaka, Choshu Chazal Macholas Asura Shalayazik Ola Haba. So what about Pikuach Nefesh? What about a Tinok? Right? The factor of Timtum Alev comes in. According to the Netziv, we can see what's unique about about this particular Din of Macholas Asuros. And you can also explain the difference between why Havdalah, right? Havdalah, the food doesn't become, isn't Metamte Misalev. Presumably on Yom Kippur, the food is not Metamte Misalev. But again, in light of the Netziv, you just wonder, like, Demai is Metamte Misalev? Right? So maybe Midrabanan, it's Metamte. Maybe it's Tevel, it's Safek Tevel Drabanan. But what I'm trying to show before is, not according to everyone, or according to some people, not in all respects, could be better, could be worse, could be that. That's how I'm trying to put it in perspective. So similarly, again, if the difference is between, I wouldn't say Iser Gavra and Iser Chefza, here I would say what I said before, Iser Gavra and Chefza shall Iser, even if it's not an Iser Chefza. Right? So it's fascinating to know, just to, you know, on this note, what's a din of demai in Hilchos Brachos? Anybody know? Like, what's a din of demai in Hilchos Brachos? Do you make a bracha on demai? Yoni. Make a bracha on demai. I didn't give you this specifically, but
I'm pretty sure you do make a bracha.
Excellent. You're correct. Okay, we're having like a, you know, posek contests here. That's a Mishnah in the seventh parak of Brachos. Right, the Mishnah says something. I'm just going to take a minute on it, but they're not a bad thing to know anyway, right? One second. But the Mishnah at the beginning of seventh parak of Brachos, Shlosh Shachlu, says that if you eat Macholos Asuros, there's no Zimun. But if you eat Demai, there is a Zimun. Right? So there is a, even a Zimun. So there's a debate between the Rambam, one second. There's a debate between the Rambam and the Ravid. Anybody familiar?
Yeah.
Ari? Who said yes? Was it Ari? No.
What are Bracha Rishon or also Bracha Achrona?
What?
Bracha Rishon and Bracha Achrona?
Yeah. Who's talking?
Josh Kaufman.
Oh, Josh. How come I don't see you? I guess you're in the other... I'm switching screens all the time because I'm just, you know, zooming around, as they say. Okay, so what's the machlokas about the Rambam and the Ravid? Says what's the machlokas?
Rambam says that what?
Well, what's the machlokas of Rishonim? What are the? Again, I don't want to get into this because it's a massive topic.
Says that about these things.
Kilukim, because they're totally relevant to what we're discussing.
Should I read it? I think it's the end of Parag Aleph.
Yeah, excellent. So the Ravid's view is that the only thing you do not do with Macholos Asuros is make a Zimun.
Right.
He's responding, Josh, to what? To the Rambam's view, which is that you don't make
Bracha Rishona or Achrona.
Or Achrona. Right, the Rambam in Parag Aleph Halacha Yitteh says, Kola Ocho Davar Ha'asur Bein Bezana Bein Bishkaga. Right? Eina mavarech lo b'tchil, even b'shkaga, or lo b'sof. Ketzad, harish achal tevel, afil tevel de divrayem, o maiser rishon, right? Shalonitlu, maiser sheni, hektesh, You don't make a bracha. Nevelos, imachol nevelos, ain't tzarech lomar, he says. By the way, it's an interesting line. Ain't tzarech lomar imachol nevelos and trefos. O shasa yainesach. Nevelos and trefos and yainesach are even worse than tevel. Why do you think that is? Eitan? Sokolov?
Sorry, what was the question?
The Rambam says with that you don't make a bracha rishona or achrona when you eat macholos asuros.
Yeah.
And his biggest example, because the example in the Mishnah in brachos, is tevel. And then he says in the end, v'ein tzarech lomar, imachol nevelos atreifos ashasa yayinesach. Why ein tzarech lomar?
By tevel, maybe it could be matre with afrasha.
Excellent. Exactly. Because you could have thought that is tevel metamte misalev. I'm just using the tziv language. Or another way to look at it is tevel really macholos asuros? I mean, it is macholos asuros. But is it objective macholos asuros that gets matired? Or is it osir to begin with because you haven't been mafrish? And that's the osir. This is a massive issue. Could be different tevels, maybe different. I think maybe, not for now, the difference between maybe tevel of challah and tevel of truma, among other things. But it's a debate in both. But nevela and trefa, no, that's a more intrinsic macholos asuros. Even though trefa might be a lack of heter shechita, right? Right? Then we talked about Reb Chaim and his view on comparison to Nachri. And we talked about the language of the Ramban in Perushal HaTorah, about Trefa. Nevela, we've said all year. Remember, we had our whole discussion about all year, but also the interesting, you know, the Zer Avram, Gerbachan of Wasserman, you know, all those interesting, you know, sugyas. Okay, but in the hierarchy, what I'm trying to say is, in the hierarchy of Macholos Asuros, you can see Nevela, then after that Trefa, then after that Tevel. Okay, either way, that's why he says Ein Tzarech Lomar. But the Rambam's view is no bracha rishona, no bracha achrona. The Ravid's view is that it's only a Zimun problem. He says, Omer Avram, Tobaze, Tosgadol, Allah, Omerim, Mevarchin, Alei, Mezamnim, Shein Kvius, Zimun, Ova Ochen, Dvar, Ha'isur. Ukein achilas peiros, shemun kavalizimun. The Ravid says the problem is a tziruf problem. It can't be mitzarev. There's no kvius in a dvar iser. There are some rishonim who might be mechalik between bracha rishona and bracha achrona. Okay? And there are rishonim who might be mechalik between shogeg and mezid.
Yeah.
Because if there's a heter, or he didn't do it be'isur. Or what about pikuach nefesh? Let's say you're in pikuach nefesh and you have to eat macholos asuros. Would you make a bracha then? Rishona or achrona? Again, I don't want to go track down all the shitos, but anyway, the Ritva in the beginning of the seventh parak of brachos, really based on the Ra'ah, says, Hu adini surei drabanan. However, he says to be mechalek between Yisurei Drabanan, between Pikuach Nefesh, and without a heter. Because again, just like you could draw the line within Daraisas, you could draw the line between Drabanans. Might you be mechalek within Drabanans itself? Sure. By the way, what's the idea of being mechalek for Pikuach Nefesh? Because it's a heter gavra. So maybe the idea is, especially if you hold like those who think that Macholos Asuros Daraisa or Chefta Shaliser. So there's a Heter Gavra, but it's still Chefta Shaliser. What's Koveya for Bracha Rishona? What's Koveya for Bracha Corona? Could be Vikuach Nefesh doesn't help you enough. But if you have Macholos Asuros Darabanan, assuming that there may be only, you know, Yisurei Gavra, and you have a heter gavra because of pikuach nefesh, then you'll make a bracha. But maybe you should be mechalik between machalos asuros, different ones, drabanan. For example, let's say you eat, remember yesterday we talked about Revelvel? I think it's the last thing, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? Sorry. Time flies when you're Zooming, right? We talked about the Grizz in the end of the first parak of Chametz HaMatzah, who says, who's medayik in the Rambam, but I think it's clear, the diuk is crystal clear. Right, there's an Isra Vachila of Chametz B'tchilas Shal Chamishis, and then, of course, B'tchilas Shal Shishis, it's an Isra Achila V'hana. So the Grizz says, if you look carefully in the Rambam, and there's actually Nafkamina Legabi Sreifas Taharos, or Tuma, Im Taharos, Truma, whatever, that B'Shal Chamishis, it's an Isra Gavra. And B'Shal Shishis, when it's conjoined with the Isra, no, it's already an Isra Cheftza, or Cheftza Shal Isra. I'm wondering aloud, let's say you eat B'Shal Chamishis, maybe, or B'Pikuch Nefesh, or maybe even Stam, B'Shogeg. Might there not be a difference between Achila B'Shal Chamishis and Shal Shishis with regard to these issues? Makes sense. Right, we were talking before about Isurina, Isurina Achila, Drabban on different levels. Anyway, what's fascinating also is that the Ritva and the Ra'ah and the Ritva in Brachos discuss Yom Kippur. Let's say you eat on Yom Kippur. Is that any different than, just like there might be difference between Makolas Asuris Daraisa Drabanan, could there be another difference between the an Iser Zman, right, and an Iser Cheft, an Iser in the based on the Cheftz Shel Iser? Makes sense or not? So actually, the Ra'ah and the Ritva, I don't want to get into this. Avram can give you the details, but the Ritva have an unbelievable line where they say that even if there's pikuach nefesh on Yom Kippur, you shouldn't make a bracha because you're not ne'ane. Because it pains you to have to eat on Yom Kippur. Halachic reality, like a very inspiring line in the Rishonim. But what's important about it for us for the moment is, if not for that, you'd be mechalek. That even though it's an Issa Daraisa, of course, Chiyuv Kares, but the Cheftza is not Asur. In a way, it parallels our Tosis about Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yadam. Right? Everybody with me? And same, a similar problem like Havdah. There's a debate, there's a famous Machlokas Rishonim, Revelvel brings this out as well in the Chibur, about eating before you say Havdalah. Havdalah is matir achila on Motzoi Shabbos? Or Havdalah is oser? If you haven't yet said Havdalah, that's the reason you're not allowed to eat because you have a chiyuv to say Havdalah first. So in light of our Tosis here, who's discussing Yom Kippur and Havdalah, I forget about the evidence in the Gemaras for the moment. If we're trying to figure out objectively, you know, what constitutes Gnaihulo, Takala, I think the parallel to Brachos, right? Per se, Bracha Rishona, Bracha Krona, Siruf Lezimun. What about the state of Bikuach Nefesh? What about Drabanans? It's very, very significant. But what's fascinating then, in light of all that, is that the Mishnah is perfectly clear that when it comes to Demai, everybody meant to make Bracha Rishona, Bracha Krona. There's even Zimun for Demai. Because Machilin Elanim Lachsanya Demai. But only if, you know, only in a case of Iboy Mafkir, it doesn't seem like it. That's one of the examples that I mentioned. I mean, the Rambam. Where I have that Rambam? Yeah. Rambam in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Brachos. No, wrong Rambam. Where did I put that Rambam? There it is. Sorry about that. The Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Yates is what I mentioned. And then in Halacha Kaf is Aval Machal Dmai, Afabi She'ena Roy Elaniyim, O Maiser Rishon Shenitla Trumaso, etc. Harezim Avarif Tkila Vaseo Fechen Kol Kiyotze Bazeh. I mean, it's the Mishnah in the beginning of the seventh Perek of Brachos. So here the Rambam doesn't say, and some of the Nosek Kalim say, maybe only if Iboy Mafgir Nikse, doesn't it depend whether he's an Ani or an Ashir? Here the Rambam doesn't say Iboy Mafgir Nikse. It sounds like what the Rambam means is the very fact that Aniyim and Achsanya, right, are permitted shows you it's not Macholas Asuros, it's an Isar Gavra. Or maybe a policy matter, even more so. Right? And therefore, there's even a Zimo, never mind Bracha Rishona, Bracha Corona. Even if you do it, be Isar. Interesting. So what I'm trying to show is the parallel between, you know, like what is the hierarchy? And how do we look at the range of different Isurei Achila, Macholos Asuros, Doraisa, Durabanan, Bemezid, Beshogeg, and Bepikoach Nefesh? And what I'm trying to show is that these are parallel topics. Of course, you could be Mechalik, but if you're going to be Mechalik, then you have to figure out what depends on what. Timtum Alev, Isur Cheftza, Cheftza Shel Isur, Isur Gavra as opposed to a timing problem, policy issues, right? Safek Tevel, we're Machmir. And in Demai, we're Mekel. That's really important to know. Okay. So having said all of that, we'll leave that with, that's for the Tosas. Now let's just talk about the Ramban just for a minute, just to get it on the record. Let's see. Shai, want to just read the Ramban for us? Just the he rejects the Bali Tosas, just to get the formulation on the record, and then I want to talk about Chitim Gubadzis quickly. For Rabbeinu.
I just turned to the page. Yeah, okay. So Rabbeinu Tam.
Rabbeinu, here, yeah.
You want me to read the Rabbeinu Tam part as well?
No. We did that already.
Okay, Rabbeinu Ner.
Neru, sorry. I mean, that's like Shlita, yeah.
You know which Rav he's talking about here?
It could be the Rif. Hard to say.
Okay.
Hard to say.
Perish.
But no, thanks. It's like the Reb Ben Yakar.
What?
Fundo thinks this is Rebbe the Reb Ben Yakar.
Oh yeah, is it?
That's what they think.
Oh, in the Herschler one?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have that one on Kulin. Interesting. Did he make a reference to it?
No, they're just speculating.
Oh, just speculating. Because they have the sitter. We have to look it up in the sitter, maybe. I'll look it up when I get a chance. Okay, go ahead.
Behemtan
shel tzadikim.
Tzadikim, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala le'acherim al yadam. Kichamura she Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, shehari lo haita mitzuve bekach, aval shelo l'hachshel hanotnim lo ratzta lecho.
Correct. I mean, this is important on two levels. Number one, to say the obvious, which other Rishonim say too, and that is that, you know, we don't really care about the Chamor Pinchas ben Yair. What's significant about the Chamor Pinchas ben Yair is that the Bailim are not allowed to be Machil Behema Tevel, right? Bekeva. Because that kind of Kilui is also Aser. Okay. But the bigger point here, of course, is this Chiddush, that what's really important here is not his personal standards, but his Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. Now, whether that is, you know, shows that in general, Kol Yisrael, my responsibility to my neighbor is of a certain such, you know, great magnitude, even vis-a-vis my own, right? Or whether that's something very specific to a manhig, you know, to a mora hara, to a tzaddik, whatever, it's even more there pronounced. That I think is an open question. I think both are true.
I mean, would we call the Chamorah Sharvi Pinchas a manhig?
No. We're saying that we, this psak shouldn't be responsible for the person who gave it to him violating. That's what we're saying. That's all we're saying.
I see.
Yeah. Drad Meir Nami.
Sorry, it was a little frozen.
Kivin Shabifne Acherim Achlu.
Okay, yeah. Ilu Haya Aser Bedavar Takala Acherim Hi. Shahare Hetir Et Beit Shan Al Yada.
Yeah. V'chein shchitas kuti.
Yeah, v'chein shchitas kuti sh'achar Rabbi Ami harei bau l'takala al yada.
It isn't about him. It's all about his followers. The impact that he has in Psak. Abba Dvarat, the key line. I'll go ahead,
Abba Dvarat. Ein adam tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh to v'lo yichate.
V'lo yechata.
V'lo yechata.
Right? So that's a very powerful line. And again, the whole Yesod, I think, is a very powerful thing. And then Ramban adds V'yafa Piresh. Okay? So, and then he goes on to his second distinction. Okay, so on the first distinction, as I say, my only suffix is whether this is a general rule or particularly a view of a Barmanig and a Mora Hara. By the way, I think it has implications for also for an interesting question, which might be the opposite or might not. And that is, you know, whether a person should be, you know, machmir on himself more than he's machmir on other people. So I think there's a dialectic in that. On the one hand, he doesn't have the right necessarily to do that. I mean, his personal standards could and should be higher. Even the idea of Yohara in terms of his own behavior, that sometimes makes more sense. Not going to impose that on others. Either there's a burden, right, or in terms of it making sense. But at the same time, what you see from this whole application is also the opposite perspective. And that is, you know, when he's really mistapek, not talking about chumras, when he's really mistapek, if he wants to, you know, take a chance on himself, it's one thing, but his responsibility to his followers or to the tzibur is actually even greater. That's not so appreciated. In the world of religions, the idea of the holy man, you know, quote unquote, and, you know, this elite or this, the idea of vicarious religion, you know, this idea that, you know, he does all the stuff so that you don't have to, it's a great system. But we really don't believe in it at all. And if anything, you see from this sugya, again, on the one hand, sometimes there's place for a person being more machmer latzmo, the world of brisk, for example. I mean, that's a very common thing, but it makes sense for the people, for the sensibilities that they have, especially if it, you know, reflects kiyumim. I mean, we have to stop in a couple of minutes. In that they, you know, has particular meaning for them, different shitos and so on. But in terms of responsibility, achrayas, it's really the opposite. So the whole sugya of chatei kadesha tzaka chavercha also tests this for individuals. Like, when do you, a little bit of slightly different issue here. Here we're talking about, you know, ena kadosh baruch hu mevi takal al yado. But what about actually sacrificing spiritually for others? Chatei kadesha tzaka. And is there a special wider parameter of that for manhigim, even more than regular individuals, or when it affects the tzibor as opposed to an individual? And I think there's a lot of evidence for that. So these are important, very important issues. Then we have the second point, which is a distinction between, you know, shogeg, and I mentioned already the Ramban's expansion of Habalitar Messayinoso, which he talks about in his Perashat Torah as well, as opposed to Pshia. There's also a terrific line when he talks about, like, how terrible is it that a takala of Misa should come al yadcha if it's Hashkachadik? That also seems to be a major machlokas harishonim. Udrabuda ben Taboy, Shaharek Eid Zomim, Shema Mukhi of the Shamayim, Haya Osa Ish, Nizimno Akarish Barcha, Lihuda ben Taboy, Lithgoabo, etc. The Omar Sisu Banai, or Bnei Meai, Sisu. All right. Yeah. So again, that's an interesting question, whether being the vehicle of Ashkacha Pratis, you know, in a punishment for someone else, is something that is also a takala. Like Mali Tosas assume that's a takala, but since it's not in Ochlim, it doesn't come into this rubric. And the Ramban thinks, actually, it's like a schus. Depends how you read those Gemaras that appear in a bunch of different places in Shas. Okay, there's one other perspective. I literally have to leave because I have to tune into something in the Reitz office for a minute. And that is the perspective of the Shita Mugedet. Thursday, we'll continue with all this in the Demai part. And maybe we'll say something about Pesach as well. And that is the Shita Mugedet on Daba. So who saw that? Matthew?
Yeah.
There he has a fascinating, and this just confirms, you know, what we've been talking about. What does the Shita Mugubetza say?
So he's asking on the case of Chamor Shebe Pinchas Ben Yair, and initially he says, like, maybe Mishamaya Kagaya, that it was really Meiser Vada, it wasn't even Demai, and that's why he was prevented.
Right, now he too is bothered on the Demai part, and especially to Behema, right? So he says, maybe the reason the Rono Shalom, you know, protected the behemas because to man it's demai, but to him, kamishmaya galya, it's actually meiser, it's tevel, right, Matthew?
Yeah.
So he says an amazing thing. At least I think so. You read the question and then the answer. Go ahead. This is Zion base.
So v'kasha mai kaparcha kamishmaya galya v'doma galya galya kameda ne'er seorim lohavu ma'asri.
Yeah.
So
this is a fascinating question. Again, what constitutes hashkafically and halachically both? I mean, this is not just both, this is hyphenated, right? What is a takala? So what's a, bring it out, just to Matthew, what's so significant about this?
So I think he's saying, like, the point that Simcha was making, that, like, it kind of relates to the way that the person himself views the halacha, meaning the fact that it's demai to Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, so therefore we treat it as demai, even though in Metzias it may actually be Meiser Vadai.
Right, so this is even more extreme. I'm not saying it's more important, but it's a more extreme manifestation of what we're talking about, what Simcha brought out the other day, what Aryeh mentioned with respect to the Ramban today, I mean Aryeh Kamenetsky, namely that, does all this depend objectively, Kameh Shmaya Galya, and what's happening? You know, it is Metamte Misalev, or it's not, to use the Netziv as a model. It's like, what's really going on here? Now this could be Lekula or Lechumra. Meaning, let's say you're talking about Demai, right? So maybe it's according to the Rove, it's Chulin, it's nothing. But also Lechumra, that's what Shita Mugubet says. The Rabbona Shalom knows that this is part of the Miyat where it's really Tevel. So Shita Mugubet basically says it doesn't matter. It only matters according to Klalei Psak, how he, this posek, is obligated to treat it. Meaning, not that he isn't eating tevel, but that's not called a takala. Again, what would the Netziv say about this? I don't know. But maybe he'd only say it by Tevel because of the lack of a Frusha. You know, would he say it about Nevela too? Like, what's Metamte Misalev? I'm not sure that Tevel's Metamte Misalev. It's purely a halachic, you know, structure. And once you're mafresh, it's still physically the same, although it's halachically different. That's an interesting halachic reality question. But the basic idea that the Shittim Gubetz is bringing out here is that it's not a takala if he's paskening correctly. That's unbelievable. In the context where we care about takala and divine intervention. Go ahead. Let's continue for a second. Yesh lefaresh.
So yesh lefaresh, dahad de ka'amar behemtin shat tzadike, mena kadosh baruch hu, mevitakal al-yadon, lav haynu shetochal ha-behema, davra ha-aser, ha-asila, t'mayich baslam b'ma shetochal behema, halachi ka'amar, behemtin shat tzadike, mena kadosh baruch hu, mevitakal al-yadon, sheyich shilu ha-tzadike, lahachi le-behemtin, davra sh'asil lahachi le-behema, kachamosher ha-pinchas v'nyar.
This is to bring out that second point that we already had in the Ramban, that this isn't about the behema, right? This is about being machil tevel improperly to a behema. Okay, the Balei Tosfos suggests that they're just machmir al atzmam, and that takala yada applies even when you're just machmir al yidei atzmam, based on the Sugin Shkalim. And the Shittim Gubetz says about that, if you match a cost of Yerushalmi, the Mechamra Nafsha, Efshe Lefarish, Chavtinu Meloshan Disha, the Shema Trei Chumri, Lo Machmer, Shlo Lechol, Kodim Meruach, Vila Kuch Behema Gamkein. Either way, according to Gemara Didan, Efshe to be the kind of Kodim Meruach. So, again, this second point the Shittim Gubetz says too, is, you know, what constitutes a takala and whether personal standards come into it or not. So we have this lekula lechumra. Again, the this idea of kamishma egalia is also two deis in the Marsha, Madura Kama and Madura Basra. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue on Thursday. I want to go through the Shakavataria on, start going through the sugyas of Tevel, but I'll also talk a little bit about Chametz. Starting from Vav Amud Aleph, try to get through some of the Gemaras on Vav Amud Beis, etc. Okay? So have a good day. I just have to run.